Seeking the Lord's help this morning, I'd ask you to turn to the passage that we read in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1 and verses 21 to 34. I shall read again Mark 1, verses 32 to 34. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. The title of this morning's sermon is A Sabbath Day in Capernaum. A Sabbath Day in Capernaum. You recall 2 weeks ago that we considered the call of the gospel as Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." And then we saw the Lord Jesus Christ calling those individuals, those fishermen, to come after him. And he would give them that special service, instead of being fishers of fish, to become fishers of men. The call of the gospel. Now there's a couple of words that I would just like to mention by way of introduction that strike us through this passage. It is a Sabbath day in Capernaum. It is equivalent, of course, to our Saturday, because this was a Jewish Sabbath day. And we meet the word in this passage straightway or immediately or anon, which all of them mean immediately. Pretty much the same word could have been used by our English Authorized Version translators, but they like to use variety. And we see that this is a Sabbath day that is moving fast. And some of us, and some of you I know, have a Sabbath day that seems to be from one thing to another. And we meet this word straightway. He entered into the synagogue. And then we see later on how that immediately his fame spread about. And then forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew. And then we're told that immediately, anon, they tell him of her. And he lifts her up by the hand, and immediately the fever left her. Well, this is a fast-paced Sabbath day in Capernaum. But there's another word that I want to draw your attention to in this passage, and that is the word authority. We're told in verse 22, "For he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes." And then again in verse 27, "For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits." But the first thing I want to preach on this morning, my first heading, is Jesus honoured the Sabbath day. We're told they went into Capernaum, and straightway, immediately on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. Jesus honoured the Sabbath day, and he fully honoured the law, as we have seen in our recent sermons on the Epistle of James in the afternoon and to some extent in the Gospel according to Mark. And he fulfilled the fourth commandment by attending the house of God for worship. And it is something that we as Christians should follow in his example. Although some teach that the fourth commandment is no longer binding on Christians, their argument falls down, because the Ten Commandments and the law of God are one whole. And if we break one part of God's law, we are guilty of breaking all. There is an integrity to God's law. And there is no way that we can throw away the fourth commandment without bringing the whole law of God into disrepute. And of course, if you were to challenge such people who teach that we can just throw away this command to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. You ask them, well, which of the others are you going to throw away as well? They're certainly not going to throw away. Thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not commit adultery. But equally, we should not throw away this fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And you will note that one of the ways in which the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled this fourth commandment was attending the house of God for worship. He entered into the synagogue and taught. Jesus honoured the Sabbath day, and so must we. We know, of course, that the Lord Jesus Christ changed the Sabbath day for us, and that it became the first day of the week rather than the last day of the week. He rose on the first day of the week. And John says in Revelation, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We know from the book of Acts and from the epistles that the Christians met together on the first day of the week. And there was that commandment of the apostle to the church and to the Christians to set aside on the first day of the week money for the work of the church. Like the Lord Jesus Christ, we must honour the Sabbath day, the first day of the week. While Jesus entered into the synagogue, and in doing so fulfilled the fourth commandment in the worship of God, in respecting this day that God had given for his worship. And as he taught, they were astonished at his doctrine. And the reason that they were astonished at his doctrine is that he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Now the scribes would have been heavily reliant upon the teaching of the rabbis, and they would really have been constrained to teach by rote, by what they had learned. They would repeat what others had provided. And we can imagine that their teaching was fairly much the same. There was just a sense of going through the motions, little of freshness about it. But the people were evidently seeing the difference in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he taught them as one that had authority. And of course he had authority in the teaching of the scriptures, because he was the author of the scriptures as the Godhead. We think of the word of God as being breathed out by God, given by inspiration of the scriptures. But as the second person of the Trinity, we can rightly say that the Lord Jesus Christ is part of the Godhead, one God in three persons. He knew the scriptures. And as we heard recently, there is that mirror of the scriptures in the Lord Jesus Christ, that perfect living out of the scriptures. And of course, he was able to teach them and to explain the scriptures and to apply the scriptures in a way that they would never have heard before. Here was teaching that invigorated and helped them to understand the Bible. And what a wonder it must have been to hear the Lord Jesus Christ preaching and teaching the scriptures. And it is a lesson to us as well, particularly to those of us who are called to preach, that if we are truly called to preach, if our gift to preach has been recognized by the Lord's people, and we have been sent by God to proclaim his word, there should be a measure of authority in our preaching. But more than that, there should also be a measure of interest and relevance in our preaching. Not only are we commanded to explain the scriptures, but we need to apply them for the benefit of God's people. And I venture to say that much harm was done in the middle part of the 20th century by preaching that was dull and set in a mould that was not suitable for the developing, changing world of the middle part of the 20th century. And those of you who may in the future be called by God to preaching must preach God's truth and yet also recognize that God's truth must be preached according to the times in which we live. We need to use relevant examples. We need to apply the scriptures to the situation that we live in today. We do not change God's truth for the times in which we live, but we recognize that it would do no good to preach as though we live 500 years ago. Jesus showed authority in preaching. And then thirdly, Jesus showed authority over the devils. As he was preaching, there was in that gathering, in that congregation, in the synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit. And as Jesus was teaching from the scriptures, this man cried out. We all know perhaps what it is to have a sudden disturbance in the gathering together of the Lord's people. And as the people were attentively looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, suddenly this man cries out saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." In the time of the Lord Jesus, there was a great uplift in the work of Satan and the evil angels. And they sought to disrupt and to disturb the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the people with their rapt attention were focused on the wonderful words that Jesus was preaching, this devil, this unclean spirit, caused the man in which he was dwelling to cry out and to make this statement about Jesus of Nazareth. There's a very striking verse in James chapter 2, which tells us something very instructive about these devils, these unclean spirits. James chapter 2, verse 19. James writes, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." This unclean spirit, this devil, recognized who Jesus was, the Holy One of God. And clearly the devil was trembling in the presence of Jesus because he asked this question, "Art thou come to destroy us?" And the devil is fearful. He knows who Jesus is. He's happy to acknowledge in the audience of the people who Jesus really is. And of course, the devil is trembling. "Art thou come to destroy us?" In the dawn of time, man was not only the only created being and the animals upon earth, but God created the angels. And yet at some point Satan fell from heaven. And he drew away, we're told in Revelation, a third of the angels with him. They had been in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ and the holy angels. And they fell, they lost their place in heaven and came down to this earth. Even the devils know that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will return with great power, and in that day he will destroy their power and send them into hell, Satan and the angels that fell with him. Even the devils believe and tremble. Jesus showed authority over the devils, but there is a great lesson for us in this truth that even the devils believe and tremble. It is that a mere intellectual assent or belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is not enough by itself. And this morning, if your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is merely just an intellectual assent that yes, the Lord Jesus Christ existed, he rose and he still exists today, and yes, I have just a bare belief in him that he is true and exists, that is not enough, because in that you are no better than the devils. In order to be better than the devils, we need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we need to love him. We need to trust in him. And we need to love him because he first loved us. And we need to love him because he has forgiven us our sins. And we need to love him because he laid down his life on the cross to save wretched, ruined sinners, such as you and me. And yes, there was a time in my life when I accepted the existence and the truth of the existence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that was all it was. We need to come to the point when we recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And we need to recognize that for ourselves we are the chief of sinners. And that we must place our trust in him. And love him because he had compassion to forgive us our sins. Because even the devils believe and tremble. Jesus showed authority over the devils. And then fourthly, Jesus showed authority over diseases. Immediately they had finished in the synagogue, forthwith, we read in verse 29, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Here were the first four disciples that were called earlier in this chapter. We are told Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon or immediately they tell him of her. Well, the first thing to notice is that Simon Peter clearly had a wife. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that Peter was unmarried and that therefore anyone who is a Roman Catholic clergy is forbidden to marry to follow in the example of Peter. But this is contrary to Scripture. And this imposition of a celibate priesthood in the Roman Catholic Church has caused many of the priests to sin by committing adultery or committing sodomy. There is no basis for the Roman Catholic teaching that Peter was unmarried. Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And this is not the only mention of Simon's wife. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5, we see again mention of Simon Peter's wife. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, "Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas?" And Cephas is the Aramaic name for the Greek name Peter. Peter's wife lay sick of a fever. And the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated his authority over disease. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And we're told immediately the fever left her and she ministered unto them. You see, with the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only did the fever leave her, but she ministered unto them. She didn't suffer from post-viral fatigue or some exhaustion after the fever had left her, but the Lord Jesus Christ restored her wholly to strength so that she served them and she provided food for them and she looked after them and she was restored completely to health and strength. The Lord Jesus Christ further demonstrates his authority over disease in the final three verses of this passage. And even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases. They all came to him. They came to him with their paralysis. They came to him with their asthma. They came to him with their autoimmune diseases. They came to him with their migraines and with their broken limbs and with all kinds of diseases. They came to him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, we could do with a visit from him in this congregation, couldn't we? With all the conditions and illnesses that we bring with us this morning. And the Lord Jesus Christ healed them all. There was no disease that was too difficult for the Lord Jesus Christ to heal. And there would have been some there that were gripped with their illness and their suffering and their conditions. But the Lord Jesus Christ was able to loosen from the power of illness and disease and demonstrated that he had authority over disease. Where did disease come from? It came from the fall. In the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, they brought in sin and suffering, and illness and disease is one of the most potent symbols of our fallen, sinful condition. But the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated that he had power over all these sicknesses and diseases. But even at the close of the Sabbath, they all came to him for healing. The Jewish Sabbath runs from sunset on Friday to sunset on Saturday. And on that Saturday evening, we can picture the glorious scene of the Lord Jesus Christ. Word has got round that he is one who is able to heal and restore to health and strength. And they all gather round his door, and they bring with them those who are sick. They bring with them those who are possessed with devils. And the Lord Jesus Christ is able to cast them all out. Not one of the devils is strong enough to resist his power. We see that interesting word at the end of verse 34. He suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. They knew him when they were with him in that beautiful, glorious paradise. But they fell, deceived by Satan. And now they were here on earth, opposing his work. But he did not allow them to speak because they knew him. Jesus showed authority in preaching. He showed authority over the devils. And he showed authority over diseases. And then fifthly, we need Jesus to heal us. Charismatic movement get very hung up on faith healers. And they concentrate on the diseases of the body. And they're looking to people to heal them. I remember someone telling me that they used to listen sometimes on the radio to Christian ministries, so-called Christian ministries. And the man would invite people to touch the radio while he prayed for their healing. Well, sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ is able to answer our prayers for healing. But there is something greater that we need healing from than the diseases of the body. Because there is a far more serious disease that we need the Lord Jesus Christ to heal us from. And that is the disease of sin. That is the most important thing that we need dealing with. We may have a fairly serious illness, But if we are not saved, if we have not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, there is something even more serious than our serious illness. It is the sickness and disease of sin. Because if we have that disease of sin and it is untreated, it will take us through this life. And if it is never dealt with, we shall die and go to hell and there face everlasting death. The sin in our hearts, our sinful nature, that sin which pervades our thoughts, our actions, and our words, must be dealt with. It must be healed, or we shall perish. What must we do? We must come to Jesus. Just like these people did, the whole city was gathered together at the door. And those that were sick of all these various kinds of diseases, those that were possessed with devils, they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what you and I must do if we have never come to Jesus. We must come to Him. And we must ask for this dreadful disease of sin to be healed. And we must say, Lord, whatever else is wrong with my body, the thing that I need to be dealt with is my sin. Because my sin is so much greater a problem. For bodily afflictions, we can go to a doctor and we can receive a prescription for some medicine, and that may control it or even cure our bodily disease. We may have another problem. We have to go to a surgeon. We have to have something removed. And that can be dealt with. But we cannot go to someone else. We cannot go to a doctor to be rid of our disease of sin. We cannot go to a surgeon for him to cut out our sin. It's not possible. The only person to whom we can come for our sin to be dealt with is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can come to Him in prayer at any time, in any place. And we can ask Him to heal us of this otherwise fatal disease of sin. And that is the encouragement which this passage gives us above all other this morning, that Jesus is ready, waiting for the prayers of His people who come to Him and they ask Him to forgive them their sins and to heal them and to bless them with a new life. That is the wonder of the gospel, that Jesus stands ready to hear the prayers of those who come to Him and ask Him to heal them, to heal their souls. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is able alone to deal with the dread disease of your sin. Amen.